evening, everyone. Today is April 25th, 2026. Welcome to the OA Working with Others sponsorship meeting. This evening, we have Scott C., who will be sharing his experience, strength, and hope with us on sponsorship for up to
Steve.
20 minutes. Steve C., thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Steve, you have the floor. Thank you so much for your service this evening.
Thanks, Sherry. It's really funny. I'm in another program as well, and the first time I ever entered the rooms of recovery, they asked if anybody was there for the first time, and I raised my hand and I walked to the front to get a coin, and they said, "What's your name?" And I really wanted to say Scott. So I think that's really precious that you said that today. So thank you. Yeah, my name is Steve, and I am a food addict, and this is not my first program, but it is the program that I have found just the most serenity in, and I consider it the deep end of the pool, and I just want to swim here all the time. And I really appreciate Elizabeth asking me to do this, talk about what my version of sponsoring people is, and I'm sure, like most of you, you learned how to sponsor by having one, and I do. I have multiple sponsors in different programs, and I'm going to stay true to the OA program of recovery. When I found myself coming into this room, I asked somebody to help me to walk through the steps, and they took me through the steps through the Big Book in a most beautiful, holistic way. And it is exactly the same way that I sponsor other people. And so I'm going to just kind of run down a little bit about what I do, and I may backtrack a little bit back and forth in my story, but for the most part, it's the first time somebody invite or asks if they would like if I would sponsor them. I usually want to make sure that we're going to be at the same meetings together, which I think is pretty important, because then we are at least going to see each other one time a week. But I've had plenty of people that have asked me to sponsor them that I've never met, that I don't know where they're going, and that type of stuff. And trying to find times to meet always seems to be hard. So I want to make sure that we already have, a meeting that we go to. And so I'll encourage people that ask sometimes to even find somebody that's going to the meeting that you're hitting, listen to the stories. And if somebody has what you want, ask that person to sponsor you. So that's usually the first thing that I do whenever I'm sponsoring somebody, is to make sure that we're going to be, at the same time in the same place at least once a week, and then we can find time to meet. I want to meet an hour a week, at least an hour a week with somebody. And I always giggle that I'm never going to have time to do that. And somehow God always makes the time. Like all the dominoes are lined up, and God's like, just keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. And my higher power just sets them up for me. And I just walk through, and it all happens. And so I've given up trying to control it, because it just works, and I always give the new sponsee an assignment, like right off the bat, because I want to know how serious you are. I want to know if you're really, really wanting to do this. So the first thing I tell them is, I want you to read the first 64 pages from the first crack of the book to 64. And as you're reading, you're going to highlight any time that you recognize yourself in the stories. You recognize yourself in what's being read. If you can resonate with that, if it means something to you and you find yourself, you highlight it. This book was written in 1939, and I use the Big Book. That's all I use at the beginning. And so it's going to have words in here that meant something a little different back in 1939 than they do in 2026. So I want you to underline any words that you questioned. What does that mean? And look it up and write the definitions in the margin. And that's going to be the greatest reference that you're going to have later on, especially when you're sponsoring others. You're going to know what you're talking about, especially like the word doggerel. Whoever uses that in a sentence, except for Bill Wilson. So, that's a great one to look up, to find out what does that mean? And it helps us understand what's going on, because I tend to sponsor people almost like a text study. We're going to study this book. We're going to study the Big Book and find out what it says to us. And then the third thing I tell them is, and this is sometimes difficult and hard at the beginning, is I want you to change every word that says alcohol and put in food or whatever it is that you're addicted to in that area. That maybe it's binging, maybe it's expelling food, maybe it's restricting food. Find those words that fit for you, so that way this story can be yours. And sometimes in Bill's story, it's hard to do that, but the doctor's opinion's not. And then once you get into the step work of it all, and you get past Bill's story, you can start transitioning those words in and out, and it just shuffles in really, really nicely, and it reads a lot better. And so that's the first assignment that I give them, and I do this on purpose because when I come back and they have a new book and they haven't even opened it, then I know, well, they're probably not going to be that serious about it. And so we'll start reading together. And my thing is, I'm going to read a chapter with you every time we meet. And that's all we're going to do. We're just going to read a chapter. I'm going to read a page. You're going to read a page. And then as we're reading, I may pause periodically to kind of expound on whatever, my sponsor told me that I wrote in my margins about stuff like, what does doggerel mean? Those types of things. Especially when you get to the doctor's opinion, there's so many great little nuggets in there. And whenever it has the asterisk for spiritual experience, we're going to turn to that page and read spiritual experiences. We're going to come back from the appendix and keep on reading. But we're going to spend a lot of time on step one because it's a lot of pages on just step one. And then once we get to Bill's story, the first 8 pages of Bill's story really talk about how we can relate to Bill. He's telling his journey, his problems, how it went from having a lot of fun with alcohol to fun with problems to just problems, and then he couldn't stop, and then it's almost near death. And then the last 8 pages are about the hope that comes from it when he's sitting and talking with Ebby, and he starts understanding this concept of a higher power. And so I always invite people, how do you relate to Bill in the first eight, and how do you find hope in the last eight? And then there's also this great thing in here. On page nine of the big book, at the very top, it has these italics letters and it says, he was sober. And in 1939, of course, we all know that the italics letters were things that you had to pay extra for in the print to make them printed out. And so anytime we see the italics, they're pretty important. And the next time we see them is on page 12 when Ebby says to him, why don't you choose your own conception of God? What a revolutionary concept this was in the 30s, and it still is for us today. When I'm sponsoring people, I always open up and let them know I'm a pastor, and so I have my own concept of God, but that might not be yours, and that's okay. You need to find your own concept of God. You can borrow mine for as long as you want, but at the end of the day, you need to find your own concept of God, and this book is going to help you do that, and I'm going to help you. Translate this book, but you're going to find that own concept of God. And it's only a matter of just coming to believe in that. And so that's going to take us all the way through into this. There's a solution where you're going to understand a little bit more about the problem and the solution with our addiction. And then we get to more about alcoholism or food addiction. And I love this one because it has three words that I love to highlight, and that's obsession, delusion, and illusion. Because an obsession is something I'm possessed by. A illusion is something that outside it is not real, but I think it's real, like a mirage. And a delusion is something inside that I think is real, that's not really real. And so I did that a lot with food. And I think people can really relate to that, especially the ones that I work with. Then we keep going. And I'm looking at my time because I really want to get to 4 through 12, because we agnostics is really all about step two. And I always want to make sure that we begin by saying, what's the first word in the title? And it's we. And I don't care what religious background you have. I don't care where you come from. If you're, a yogi, whatever. You could be so dang religious and it doesn't matter. We are without knowledge about our higher power, period. We lack knowledge. That means we are agnostic. So the key word there is we, because the first time I did this, I did not read this chapter because I'm a pastor and I know about God. And my sponsor laughed at me and said, okay, buddy, let's read. And man, I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad we did because I had no idea that power I had given to food and that I was powerless over food. And then he had me actually look up those words. What does powerless mean and what does meaningless mean? Anyway, so we go through it, we agnostics, and that's when we get to how it works. And I love this chapter. In a lot of meetings, they read this every single time, all the way through the 12 steps. And I love that OA always does the 12 steps. But this really focuses getting us ready for step three, because the first 60 pages have really just moved us through the first two steps. What a gift that we're going to spend that much time. You know, this is already like 5 or 6 weeks that you and I have been meeting together, a sponsor and sponsee, reading one chapter at a time, looking at those highlights, looking at those underlying words, talking about our story, getting to know each other, building trust with each other, because we're about to get into the real meat of it all. And that's where we're going to turn our power, our life and our will over to our higher power in step three. I usually invite them to read some of these portions in first person, because it really just translates so much better whenever we're looking at it from that way. And then whenever it gets to that third step prayer, I always pause and I ask them to kneel down with me and hold my hand, and we're going to pray that prayer together. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And then I tell them, your next assignment is to memorize it. And so the first assignment that I give you is really read the book, you know, underline it, get used to, you know, get in touch with me. Let's get together. We're going to read the book together. You're going to read it twice, technically, because you've already done it once. And now we're going to talk about the spiritual nature of this program. And the first part is that we're going to turn our life and our will over to our higher power. This is not a one and done thing. This is a daily thing. So you're going to do this every day. Memorize that prayer. When you wake up in the morning, say that prayer. Let it be the first thing you say, because if not, we're going to start turning our life and our will over to Steve, and I'm going to mess it all up super fast. And then immediately, as soon as we've done that, I say, I need you to get a notebook. I need you to get a pen, get a highlighter, because we're going to jump into the fourth step. And the fourth step, I do it straight from the big book. We're going to go with columns. And as we're reading through, the first time we do it, you're just going to list every single person that you're pissed at. That's what I want. I want you to list all the people that you have a resentment against. And it doesn't matter what order you put them in, just put it down. And if you're thinking of the name of somebody, they go on the list. If you're like, I don't know why I'm mad at them, but they're here, that's fine. Put it on the list. Let God reveal what it is. We're here just to do the work. There's no right or wrong way to do this. We just do it. Just get in there and do it. That's what the 12 and 12 tells us. So I tell them, just list everybody down. And then we start working this thing. And then the first thing we do is we talk about the first person you have on your list. What are you resentful about? And we write down that resentful. We write down what it was that they did to me, just like they did in here with Mr. Brown. And then the next column over is, what did it, how did it affect me? You know, like when I got mad at so-and-so, it affected me because, and it tells us all the different things to write there: self-esteem, security, ambitions, personal relationships, sex relationships, and of course, fear. And then after we've done all of those things, then we're going to go to the second side of the page, where we're going to be now. Once we've done, this is also an assignment too, and I'm sorry, I'm rushing through this because I really want to get to six and seven too. Once we've gone through and you've gotten all of your people listed down, we're also going to do the same thing for institutions. And if you're like me, places have pissed you off, like the IRS or every single job I ever had. You know, I still have resentments against those, so I'm going to list those down too. And then the principals. In other programs, it's weird, but in this one, I was told do sayings. What are some of the sayings that people have said? You know, like oh, he's just big boned. Oh my God, I hated that statement. You know, oh, he's husky. You know, oh, you're just a best friend. I mean, all of these statements like that just really hurt, and I hurt by them, and so I wrote those down too. And I had to write down how it affected me. And then we go to the other columns where really we see in our and that there's where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. And I've got a piece of paper that, and I should have pulled it up so I could share it with you, but I'll put that in the chat afterwards, that I walk with people and I invite them just to write down the things that they have. And it's this part called the turnarounds, where I realize that I let this person into my life, but I didn't have to do it that way. And it shows that I can release them from their stuff because I need to start looking at my part in all of this. Or they they're evil, or they're terrible. But I've also done the same thing to other people. And all of a sudden it creates this great equalizer to realize that my resentment against like my wife or a coworker or something, I've also done some of those same things to other people. So who am I really? List. And then I invite you to list all the fears that you've ever listed down here. Uh-oh, my internet might go out. I'm so sorry. Just so you know, it just says it's getting unstable. Am I still with you?
We have you. Yes, you froze, but we got you.
I can't believe that. That's crazy. So it'll come back. I'll come back if it goes out, I promise. God willing. So we do a fears list, and this is my favorite part of the fourth step, is that we talk about, where did the fear come from? And I tell them, go back as far as you want. Where did your fear of being seen come from? Where did your fear of getting angry? Where did your fear of not getting enough come from? And for me, with the food, man, I can go all the way back to like 2 or 3 years old and start thinking about it. And then it's, what did you do with this fear? And by the way, all these questions are in the big book. What did you do when these things happened? And that's whenever I find those are my
5
defaults.
minutes.
Thanks so much, Ellen. Those are my defaults. And so, but when I get these fears down, the nuggets actually tell me I acted in certain ways because I wasn't getting what I want, because I was afraid. And therein lies all of my defaults. And then it's hot. Then it has, what would you do if God had this? If you gave this to God, what's pie in the sky? What would happen? And my favorite thing is, that's whenever people start really turning it over. And then you say a prayer, direct my attention to what you would have me be. That's the four-step little nugget there. It's, what would you have me be? And then, of course, there's the sex inventory that's in there. And I work with male and female, and I always tell them, that's yours. You're going to write down. There's some questions that go along with it. I'm not going to read it. That's just for you. And we're also not going to make amends to these people. However, you need to list this thing down. You need to write down the things, because my behaviors were involved in that. My defects were involved in that, which are my defaults, really. And then when we start getting to the fifth step, that's where we're going to look over a few of the ones. And I always tell people, because you've written a lot, you've already written maybe like 70 or 80 names and a bunch of institutions and principles. We're not going to spend our fifth step reading through everything. I'm going to say, what's the one that you're still having a hard time with? What's the resentment that you're just like, screw them, I don't want to let them go. I'm not, no, I don't, no. I'm still mad at them. Let's talk about that one. What's the one that you had the hardest time with? And then, what are your fears? Where did these fears lead you? What kind of defects popped out? And then I always ask at the fifth step, is there anything that you left out? Is there something that you're going to take to your grave? Is there something that you're saying, if anybody ever finds this about me, I'm going to get fired, or I'm going to be in jail? Because this is the place to unleash it. And when I did this with my sponsor, it was cathartic. It was visceral. It was beautiful. And so every time that that happens, there's this trust, because now all of a sudden, I'm opening up to you about what's my darkest secrets. And then I will honestly start opening up to God, and then to other people. I'll be vulnerable. I'll be honest and humble. And I'm fearless about being me, because I hid all the time. And so this part of the fifth step is absolutely beautiful and crucial. And then I tell them to go and look over the first five steps and then get through them. Then we get to the sixth and seventh step. Man, it's run time running out. I'm sorry, guys. In the sixth and seventh step, I always tell people, read Drop the Rock. It's a great book. No, it's AA approved literature. I don't know if it's OA, and I apologize. But it's a great book about six and seven. It just has little stories about six and seven. And at first, we're just gonna recognize that we have these defects, and are we willing to let God have them? If not, are we willing to become willing? And then the seventh step, we have this prayer on page 76, and I invite them to memorize that prayer. So we have third step prayer. Now you have the seventh step prayer, and lo and behold, the amen is at the seventh step prayer. And then immediately I push them into eight, and I say, you've already written out all the people on your resentment list. That's the start of your eighth step. List them all down and do three columns. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make amends to this person. No, or maybe I don't know. Maybe I'll make amends to them. And then there's always the hell no. I'm not touching it. I'm not gonna do it. And then whenever we get to the ninth step, I'll ask you to please write out your amends that you're thinking about making, and I want to hear it. And we're going to come back to it, and I want you to read it to me, and you're going to practice with me, and then I'm going to tell you to rewrite it. And we do this like three or four times, because we've got to focus on my stuff, not you. I need to amend my behavior, not change you. I have you look up three different words: harm, amend, and apology. We need to know the difference between those three things. They're super, super important. And then we start making amends. And as soon as you make your first amend, we jump into 10 and recognize that on the daily basis, I'm doing a fourth step. Where have I been resentment, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Have I harmed somebody? If so, I'm going to go take care of that right away. I'm going to see if I talk it over with somebody, and then I'm going to try to help somebody else. And 11 and 12 are literally about my spirit being in one, being one with my higher power. We practice a little bit about what that looks like on a daily basis, maybe 20 minutes a day. We're going to sit and write. We're going to sit and read. We're going to grab a whatever devotion you want, whatever. It doesn't matter. I tell people, read the big book again, read the stories in the back, you know, read the book Abstinence, you know, OA Abstinence book. It's great. You know, just read a story a day, but do something with your program. Stay connected. And of course, step 12, I tell them, start raising your hand to sponsor somebody in a meeting. Start inviting, you know, especially in these Zoom rooms, start saying, I'll help. I'll help co-host. I'll do timer. I'll read something. I'll bring the topic, whatever it is. When somebody asks you to speak, you always say yes, which is what I did for Elizabeth. And I see I've got like 5 seconds left. So I just want to say thank y'all for letting me come in here. I know I talk fast. I know I just did a shotgun blast of what it's like to sponsor, and I have no clue what I said. So there you go.
And it was amazing, Steve. Thank you so much. That was a lot of amazing little nuggets packed into that share. Thank you. Thank you.